This is a production of Cornell University.
Get started. So for the first meeting, we're going to take the introduction, the roll call, a little more slowly. I'm going to have a couple of the ex officio officers introduce themselves, and then we're going to go through the voting members. This will and have the voting members each introduce themselves. What I'd like to do as well, if you see an error on your placard, so if it says you're not the right division or it says something weird about your field, we'll take that down when you introduce yourself. So say kind of what field you are, how long you've been in GPSA, stuff like that. So start off, hello, my name is Nate Rogers. I'm a fourth year PhD student in mechanical engineering. This is my fourth year in GPSA. I was a mechanical engineering field rep for 2 years. And then last year, I was the Vice President for Operations. We have a lot of interesting things planned for this year, trying to make GPSA run a little bit better, and there's lots of interesting issues on campus going on, so hang in there while we get that started. Next is Executive Vice President.
Hi, my name is Nate Stetson. I'm Executive Vice President, and my job is mostly to make sure that everybody in the graduate professional community representation that our charter and bylaws afford them in terms of voting, non-voting contribution, and funding. So I would be, I probably have bothered you or will bother you at some point. I'm trying to make sure that all of our records are up to date.
And then let's hit Richard, because you two are voting members. Sorry. So let's go into voting members for the physical sciences. So, do you want to start?
Sarah,
you.
Yes. Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a fourth year PhD student in chemistry. I was the field rep for chemistry for a year, and then VP of communications last year, and then now I'm VP for operations.
Is there something wrong in your flash card that we need to note down?
Yes, for engineering, which I would say nothing. Or
okay. Who are other physical sciences? Ian? Yeah?
My name is Ian Smythe. This is my second year at GPSA. I'm a sixth year PhD student in mathematics. I used to be the field of my placard also says Ian Smythe.
Got it. We should have two other people from Alex. You are engineering.
Yes.
So she's okay. All right. Do we have a fourth voting physical sciences? I can't see you because you're right in the light, which is why. Yeah.
I'm Elizabeth Tate. I am a second year mechanical engineer. Last year I was field rep for mechanical engineering. That's it.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Biological sciences. I think we only have three from biological sciences, so social sciences.
I am Katie Franklin, I'm a third year PhD in computer design.
you have four on social sciences, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a fourth social science person, voting member here? All right, cool. I'll figure that out later. What? Yeah, there should be four, but we only have three.
Mark?
And last is humanities. We should have three humanities.
I'm Anna Weymouth. I'm a fourth year in medieval studies. Last year I was the medieval studies field rep, and I am also one of two representatives of the GCSA on the general committee. The other is the B side.
I'm Jesse Goldberg. I'm a fifth year PhD student in the English department. It's my fifth year with the GCSA. Started as student representative for English, then voting member of humanities. I was co-chair of the student advocacy committee for a semester. And that's that.
Thanks. We have three professional school voting members. So law first.
I'm Julia Bender, I'm a second year law student. This is my second semester.
And Johnson School. Do you have someone from the Johnson School? Vet, then?
Hi, I'm
a Okay. Cool. That constitutes a quorum, which means that we can continue with our meeting. So the first... Sorry. The first agenda item is always approval of the minutes. So I think those got sent out, the minutes from our last meeting. Are there any corrections or additions to be made to the approval of the minutes? Okay, seeing none, can we have a vote of affirmation to approve the minutes as they are? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Or giggle, that's okay. The minutes are approved. So now let's move on to the presentations, but before we get too far in, due to some recent news events, Cornell Graduate Students United would like to make a brief announcement. Are you going to put something in?
No.
Okay.
Graduate student toward a collective bargaining agreement with the administration. That collective
would occur in the event of an election where a simple majority votes that the union, which is a democratic consensus making body, would represent them in collective bargaining with the university over things like pay, benefits, leave, so on and so forth. A big question that comes up is, what is the difference between GPSA and CGSQ? Difference. They're different. They're two different things. And a big fear that has been circulating is, well, if there's a union, does that mean that GPSA will no longer have any power, or might even not exist, or might be told that it's illegal for them to talk about things like benefits and whatever. And that's a fear that's circulating, which I think is like absolutely absurd, completely unfounded, and really silly, considering that at Rutgers and all of these other institutions that have active NYU, as you might know, there's also some kind of graduate professional student association, which makes decisions and communicates to be a recommending body to the grad students and liaises with universities. So that's just to say that what is approaching this semester is something that looks like a campaign for an election for that union. So we'll see, depending on the kind of climate and atmosphere going into this semester, if that's going to be possible. Everyone is able to join the union if you want. There's people back there who are representatives of it, and we'll keep this discussion going. But the decision is massive. It's something that is going to color the entire rest of probably my time here and a lot of people's time. So we just want you to be aware of it. You can read the University Code of Conduct, which is a negotiation between the union and the university, on the union's website. It's what was negotiated between representatives of the university, like HR, to discuss the code of conduct going into the election period and the campaign. So that's all available if you want on the CGSU website.
Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to roll right into the objective of this first meeting is because there's a bunch of new folks, sometimes it can be a rocky start, especially if people aren't very familiar with the parliamentary procedure and stuff like that. So Richard's going to explain what the GPSA is, kind of where we fit into the larger campus governance structure, and a little bit about how we operate the GPSA meetings. He's been the president for the last 2 years, so he knows this about as well as anyone. So go for it, Richard.
All right. Hello again, everybody. I guess I couldn't stay away from the podium that long. So, so as Nate said, I'm just going to give a quick overview for new members and a refresher for returning members on the GPSA, who we are, how we function. Just a brief overview of Cornell, just to really highlight the decentralized nature of Cornell as a university. Cornell has 5 campuses in 4 cities and 2 countries. Of these, so that's the Ithaca campus, the Geneva Research Station, New York City Tech, Weill, and Weill Cutter. Of these, 3 are directly administered by the Board of Trustees, and that is Ithaca, Geneva, and New York City Tech. The other 2 are administered by the Board of Overseers. And 3 of these, Ithaca, Geneva, and New York City Tech, the ones directly controlled by the Board of Trustees, are represented by the Graduate Professional Student Assembly. So our constituency extends all the way to New York City. And we have open communications and active working relationships with the governing bodies for the other 2. So our authority is, actually, this is a much better slide. Our authority is delegated to us through the president by the Board of Trustees. We read our charter that establishes the GPSA. It states very clearly that we get our authority from the president. The GPSA is structured by sort of the organizational committee, the executive committee. Doesn't mean that we necessarily have authority over everybody. It just means that we get the fun job of keeping the entire thing running smoothly. And the chair of the executive committee is officially the EVP, which will be Nate Stetson this year, who's charged with, in addition to making sure that every field is properly represented, make sure that the executive committee itself functions properly. Then within the executive committee, there's the vice president for communications, which is Manisha. Her job is to sort of be communications downward, so to the graduate professional student body at large. So not the GPSA itself, but all the other students that are not GPSA members. Then there's the president, that's Nate Rogers over here, His job is communication upwards, so to the administration. And the administration, other assemblies, and across to the other campuses like Weill and Cutter. And then finally, there's the Vice President for Operations, which is Sarah. And she is the chair of the Operations and Staffing Committee, and that means that she is responsible for all of our committee appointments, both internal and external committee appointments, and is also the sort of Supreme Court when it comes to like interpretations of the charter and bylaws. The Operations Staffing Committee is the ones who are in charge of weighing in on charter and bylaw decisions. And finally, the Operations Staffing Committee is the one in charge of overseeing our standing committees, which are the Appropriations Committee. This is our treasurer, basically, and we also are the ones in charge of organizing our activity fee in the byline and the activity fee setting years. Student advocacy, this, just as the name implies, they are the main advocacy arm of the GTSA, take on all issues ranging from mental health to workers' compensation. Then there's diversity international students, who ensures that diverse international students on Cornell's campus and the graduate professional student community are well represented both in the GPSA and the administration, and to make sure that issues affecting that community are well highlighted and given the appropriate attention by us. The Finance Commission, this is the one that most people interact with, so Manisha's going to try and change that. This is the group that most people interact with across campus. They're the ones in charge of the money, so they're the ones that disperse the funds to various student organizations on campus. The Faculty Awards Committee is in charge of, so at the end of every year, we should give an award for excellence in teaching and advising to a faculty member. And they're the ones in charge of collecting all the letters and reading them in one giant meeting and then giving an award at the end of the year and told it's one of the best make yourself feel better about the world committees to be on. And then last but certainly not least, the Programming Board, chaired by Amy, which sponsors events to bring together a cohesive campus community. And those are the standing committees, and I'm sure they all like to have more members.
Explain, no, council, because council's not on here.
Oh, right, council. So we didn't have a council last year when we made the slide. So finally, I am the council. So the council is a position reserved for a former member of the executive committee, and it is my job to serve as the advisor to both the operations and staffing committee and to the executive committee, as well as the general assembly. Basically, I'm the living institutional memory. My job is to sort of say, you know, this is how we did things before, whether or not we want to change those, or sort of give sage wisdom. And there's actually a clause in the charter that says I can't be given any other task unless I willingly accept it, so, which might be my favorite clause in any charter or bylaws document. So, membership, there's divided into two classes of members. There's field representatives and voting members. Field representatives, each field within the graduate school gets one. If there's more than 100 students in that field, they get two. In addition, there are three from all of the professional schools. And they are in charge of electing the voting members, officers, and committee chairs. Also, any field representative may speak on any motion and introduce the resolution or introduce a motion. And then there's voting members, 19 in total, as they're introduced today, four from physical sciences, three from biological sciences, four from social sciences, three from humanities, one for each professional school, and 2 1-year master's students. So these two positions are created to ensure that 1-year master's students have a voting voice in the assembly, considering the fact that they don't have the opportunity to first be a field rep and then move up to voting member. They have all the same responsibilities as field representatives, but they are also called on, they also just get to vote. The main structural difference is that voting members actually then vote on motions and resolutions. And they're the ones who are eligible to serve as committee chairs, and in general are expected to be the more active, involved, and informed members of the assembly. So that's overview of the GPSA, and then I'm going to do a little bit on Robert's Rules of Order. So is there any questions on the GPSA and its structure?
What role do field representatives play in getting funding for a graduate field organization?
Right. If you have a field organization, so there is a class of organization, in case you aren't aware, called the field organization. That is an organization whose job it is to be the, you know, organization representation of a particular field. They have a certain amount of guaranteed funding called field funding, which I believe is $200 plus $2 per student in that field, which can be a significant amount of money. And in order to get that field funding, they must meet the requirements of being a field organization, one of which is to send representatives to the GPSA. So So if you want to get money as a field organization, you have to send us representatives.
Okay.
field representatives and voting members. Mm-hmm. And those are voted on the same time you vote for the voting members.
Correct.
So they are even.
One other question. So, and the field representatives are set up in caucuses, which are represented by the voting members.
Yes.
And some
so,
of them putting up is a little funny, like math or physical sciences, or social sciences, but that information is available.
Yeah. Yeah, so all the fields are divided into divisions, and we're going to try and foster some more intra-divisional communication this year. Any other questions, clarifications? All right, so Robert's Rules of Order. The basic premise of Robert's Rules of Order is only one person gets to speak, and everyone gets a chance to speak. So the history of Robert's Rules of Order is kind of funny because it started when, I believe, it was an officer, I forgot which branch of the military, went to a church meeting and was so appalled at the disorganization of the church meeting that he went out and wrote a book called Robert's Rules of Order. His name was Robert. And he said, basically, I like to think of him going back to that church and saying, from now on, we're doing it like this. And asked, who are you? And he probably said, I'm Robert, and these are Robert's rules. So it's just a way to try and get a very large group of people. We have, you know, I'm not sure what standing number of field reps is currently, but there's, you know, room for up to 100 field representatives, and then the 19 voting members. It's a lot of people to try and get everyone to have a conversation that's productive. This is just the purpose is to keep it structured. So, motions. A motion is a formal action of the assembly, and they accomplish several things. So, like a motion to approve the minutes. Basically, you're just saying that I want this assembly to approve these minutes. Not very complicated. Any member may make a motion, and once the motion is made, all discussion must be on that motion. The only other motions you can make while the motion is being discussed is a motion to amend, or call the vote, or table, or anyway. They all have to be related to the motion being discussed, however. A resolution is nothing more than a formally typed up motion. So we give a lot of time to resolutions, and there's some resolutions that have specific rules around them, but at the end of the day, as far as Robert's Rules of Order is concerned, a resolution is nothing more than a very, very formal typed up motion. No other motion can be discussed. Debate. So debate is settled when each member has had two chances to speak, or if it's ended early by two-thirds vote of the voting members. So in practice, we tend to let things go past two so-called speakers lists. So by strict rules of Robert's Rules of Order, everyone gets a chance to speak, and then, you know, once everyone's had a chance to speak, everyone else waives the right to speak and go to a second speaker's list, give everyone else a chance to speak a second time. And formally, you should end it after that, but we kind of keep going until we feel the discussion has stopped being productive. And that's decided by two-thirds vote of, this should actually be, I believe it's voting members and field representatives for closing debate. But no, because it's a motion, voting members voted on the motion. So, two-thirds vote will close debate. So this is how the filibuster comes about. If a, you know, significant minority doesn't want the motion to pass, then they, of course, can refuse to allow the question to be called. Sort of indefinitely. And all rules of debate can be suspended or changed by a two-thirds vote. So if we just feel like we don't want to work by Robert's Rules of Order anymore, you can say suspend Robert's Rules and do that by a two-thirds vote. Resolutions, as I said, very formally written motion. So a resolution, it gets the most press and focus at the general meetings, but they're, you know, they serve a set number of purposes. They can, you know, lots of internal procedures require a resolution, like the activity fee required a few resolutions to get through. We have to pass a resolution to change the charter or bylaws, etc. We can communicate what the GPSA is thinking to the administration in a very formal way, or call in stronger language for a change in policy. However, by the time we've gotten to a resolution, it means we've already gone through a few rounds of discussion. At least in principle, that's the way it's thought of to work, is that you go through a few rounds of discussion with administrators, whoever you want to change that policy, then you bring forward a resolution, and then the resolution basically states, we've already had some productive conversations, this is what we think, or we have had conversations that have led nowhere, we want to call strongly for a policy change. So then our authority, as I said, comes to us from the Board of Trustees and the Charter. It explicitly states what our authority is. We set the activity fee every 2 years. We get to decide how much the activity fee goes up by. And then we have legislative authority over other policies, basically states we have the right to hear about and weigh in on all non-academic policy, and we have the right to comment on all things affecting graduate freshman students. So
Essentially, what this breaks down to is it's not a matter of academic policy. We had the right to have been consulted over it and discuss it, which generally can happen either in a meeting with the deans or, you know, sometimes they come here and give a presentation to the full assembly. There are other, if it's an academic policy change, officially we don't have the right to have been consulted on it. However, it doesn't normally stop us from weighing in on it. It's just sort of, at that point, it's more of a consultation and doesn't have as necessarily as much strength because we don't technically have legislative authority over that area. Finally, the Office of the Assemblies, they provide, questions on Robert's Rules of Order before we move on. Or clarifications if I got something wrong. I'm an amateur parliamentarian at best. Alright. So the Office of the Assemblies, they're the office in charge of supporting all the assemblies. They're the ones who put food out and our placards for us so that we can, you know, eat and wave things around to vote and get our names called. They provide a clerk at all of our meetings to take notes, and they record audio at all of our meetings, and basically general logistics. And, you know, if I get something horribly wrong in parliamentary procedure, they're there to let me know that I was wrong sometimes. And in general, just sort of provide support. I don't see Gina here today.
I talk instead of her.
Oh, okay. And so, yeah. And that's all I have.
Okay. Cool.
So I'll make a little note. You might have noticed that we have been kind of lax with Robert's Rules. That is typically true. I think for the people who've been here a while, we find it's being very rigid about that is less fun and less productive. So as long as we can kind of keep things under control, we can have a little more free form with Robert's Rules of Order, and I think that serves us pretty well. But I will, there are, if you Google Robert's Rules, you can find kind of slimmed down versions. The Faculty Senate has, on their website, they've got kind of a simplified version about, like, you know, what kind of motions to make. If you're going to ask a question, it's a point of inquiry. If you can't hear something or you're worried about, like, you know, I'm not sure if I can hear this, or someone's being prevented from speaking, that's a point of a personal privilege. Stuff like that is broken down there. So Google it. Yeah.
Also, if you don't know, it's okay to just, like, raise your finger and talk. You don't have to be perfect about that. No one's going to judge you too harshly if you mess them up.
Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah. So what we're going to do right now, I'll accept the motion to suspend the breakout session by a little bit so we can talk about the Office of Assembly. So can someone make that motion?
So moved.
All right, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. Okay, we'll talk about the Office of Assembly real quick.
Sure.
So hi everyone, my name is Brian Murphy. I am a staff member in the Office of the Assemblies. I graduated from Cornell in May, and they hired me full-time. I worked in the Assemblies for 4 years before becoming a staff member, so I do know a little bit about the Assemblies. I mostly worked at the Student Assembly when I was here, but now I'm responsible for any sort of data or technology related to all the Assemblies and any elected trustee. So I work both with the Board of Trustees and the Assemblies. Really quickly, I'll just show you. We're in the process right now of, we've hired a developer, and a pretty big project that the university is working on right now is shared governance in general and how to make it more accessible. So we're in the middle, towards the end of a really long project to develop a new web platform for shared governance, and what you're seeing now is not that. It's what we've done before that. So this is kind of like a makeshift thing, so please forgive us for that. But basically, by the time, at the end of the semester is when we're hoping to launch it, so you should see some different stuff then. But in the meantime, you can theoretically get any information you need about the assemblies on the dashboard, what we call it, which is just assembly.cornell.edu/dash. And we post all the meeting files, so we record any agenda, any resolution, anything associated with anything formal is always recorded here. Part of our job is to record the official history of the assembly for posterity. We also can help you anything to do with finance. We have the administrative oversight over all the student activity fees, so we manage the millions of dollars that come in through that. If you need to make any expenses on behalf of the assembly, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can do it as a reimbursement, which is not normally preferable because sometimes expenses are large, but we can pay for it directly, but you just have to let us know a little bit in advance. And we can also help with space reservations if you're having difficulty finding space for a committee to meet or to have an event. We have some leeway there. And if you ever need anything in regard to the assemblies, you can get us via email at assembly@cornell.edu. And if you find that there's any information out of date or missing, please let us know, since there's only two of us that work, me and my boss, who's the director of the assemblies, and we manage a lot of things between the two of us. So anything you guys find that's out of date, please just let us know. We'll update it as soon as we can. Thanks.
Can you make a little comment about the other assemblies that the Office of Assemblies oversees,
sure.
And maybe even the Faculty Senate?
Besides the GPSA, there's the Student Assembly, which is the undergraduate students. There's the Employee Assembly, which covers all Ithaca staff members. There is the University Assembly, which is the combination of the three constituent assemblies and the Faculty Senate. And they oversee university-wide policies to do with the Campus Code of Conduct. So they actually have authority over the Campus Code of Conduct, subject to approval by the Board of Trustees. But they oversee that and any other major university-wide policy. And then, of course, it's the Faculty Senate, which actually has unmoderated authority, so things that they approve aren't subject to approval by the President or the Board of Trustees, unlike the four assemblies. That's, like, the key difference there. But I know some of you are serving on the University Assembly, and all the meetings of all the assemblies are open to everyone, so if you ever feel like you want to go to another assembly, only the Student Assembly doesn't have food, all the other assemblies have food. So that's a much more rowdy group. There's a lot of them, and that's in Willard Strait Hall. The other two meet typically in 401 Physical Sciences Building, and the calendar is on our website, too, where you can see. There's actually a University Assembly meeting tomorrow. You can see it here, all the meetings. There's a lot of them. Anything else? You think that's good?
Good. Okay. Thank you very much, Brian.
All right, so with that, we're going to do something we normally don't do very often, but we're going to see if we can start doing this more frequently, is we're going to start breaking out by division so the communications chiefs can talk to each other. So we've got, we'll set the clock for like 10 minutes for that, and Manisha, will do you want to give some preface?
Yeah, so when we can break apart by caucus, maybe humanities over here, biological sciences, physical sciences, for the professional schools, you guys can either join any division you want or form your own little division, and you guys. And what we're also going to do there is, one, introduce the voting members specifically, because the field representatives that they serve, and then we're going to have all field representatives who write their name on cards and get a spot with who the field representatives are. Even if you know this information, put the information of your associated graduate field, because we want to get a spot with all of our associated graduate fields.
We'll figure that out. I mean, there's not a lot of field representatives here either. There's a lot of field.
Yeah, I know ours.
representative of legislators here in Michigan, but you have any needs too? Come up here. Let's go this way. So there. I know they're looking. So six.
one officer? Or
yeah.
Do you have someone I can sign in with?
No, sign in with.
Let's walk right now.
All right, 5-minute warning, or 3 minutes, or something. They're still pretty busy, looks like. Thank you. guys. Let's bring it back.
Whatever I hear about cases of, and right now there are some cases, but being dismissed, being put on mandatory probation, they're not fulfilling the terms of mandatory probation, they're not allowed to return. And the basis for all these lawsuits is Cornell didn't follow their own policy. So when we look like, you know, what step forward, the grievance policy, I mean, what can, how can you look at three steps and not have it resolved? When policies exist, we really do try to follow them to the letter, not to be bureaucratic or stick to the letter, is that the phrase that we're using? But because that should be one of the biggest bases for a student saying he's going to take his course. We have a policy, we didn't follow it.
Well,
that wasn't really a cheery one. You have any questions about any of these things, or just want more information, JAN.ALLEN has pointed.
Thanks, Jan. So as Richard mentioned, now is the time, and it's our charter, that we are supposed to elect 2 1-year master student voting members, if we can. So do we have any 1-year master students present? So include MEng, MPS, this guy up here. Anyone else? Are you interested in being a master's student voting member? So, okay, what's your name?
Jonathan Maynard.
Jonathan Maynard? Are you taking it down?
Yeah, what's your net ID?
JAN945.
Okay, cool. You know, if you could stand up and tell us a little bit about yourself and the field you're in and stuff like that, and then we can all make an informed decision.
All right. So I'm an athletic game student. I'm in the biomedical engineering department. I'm an undergraduate at UC Pittsburgh.
Woo!
Awesome. Yeah, that's all about me. I'm not sure if there's some other time to talk yet.
Woo!
And let's go. Yeah, a little bit about me.
All right, thanks. So the way this works is that these positions don't go to at-large positions if we can't fill the other ones. They just remain vacant until we can staff them. So we're all, all of us vote on, sorry, say your name again?
Jonathan.
We all vote on, get a vote on Jonathan as a master's student vote member. Wait, are you a master's student too? In hotel school.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, well, because you can't have 2 engineers do it, you know. So do you want to? Are you interested in being a voting member for the master's students?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Stand up and tell us a little bit about yourself then. And what's your net ID, Rachel?
Sorry?
Net ID?
YT472.
YT472. Okay. So we have 2 potential candidates. Unless the third miraculously appears, I'm going to ask that we vote by acclamation instead of doing our normal secret ballot. So all in favor of making Jonathan and Rachel the 2 master's voting members, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent. Congratulations, guys. All right. So we are staff. So now we're going to roll into our reports of officers and committee updates. Executive committee. That's your name.
Point of inquiry. Were you going to talk about resolutions?
Oh, yeah. My bad. Okay. So normally during news business would be the time we introduce resolutions. There's a couple that we typically introduce at the first, or the charter says we should introduce at the first meeting.
After doing charter bylaws all day, we figured out that actually it says introduce at the second meeting.
It does say, okay.
It says introduce at the second.
Excellent. So, 2 weeks from today, we'll be introducing a couple of resolutions that we have to pass every year. They include possible changes to our charter and bylaws. So if you're a committee chair and you would like something changed about the charter or bylaws, talk to Sarah. It also is our GPSA operating budget. Is there, I feel like there's a third thing.
No?
Okay, so those two things we have to pass every year. Oh, on student activity fee 7 years when we start introducing that. So this would be the portion of the meeting where we typically introduce resolutions. However, because today's kind of a weird day where we're just doing kind of a semi-orientation type deal, we're just gonna skip right over that and into reports of the officers and committee updates. So unless there's anything else to add to the resolution point, executive committee.
Hi everyone, so the executive committee is in the process of figuring out our sort of strategic vision for the next year. There are a couple of specific resolutions from last semester that we're looking to continue working on, and some new ones that are in the pipeline. We're also working to make sure, again, that everybody is represented and that our lists of member representatives are accurate, and we're working with the Office of the Assembly as we change platforms to make sure that goes as smoothly as possible. We're also continuing to work on building working relationships with the other assemblies and various parts of the administration, and to plan some fun things for you guys to do.
Operations.
So in the next 2 weeks, we have to staff all the internal and external committees. So you'll be getting an email from me asking you if you want to be on the committee or asking you to link where you can apply. So internal committees will, there's a link on the assembly dashboard. So applications should be set to open at that point, and then external ones will probably do a Google Doc. So look out for that.
Appropriations? How big is the student activity fee when you get it from the students?
That's about $85.
But times the number of students, like
times the number of students,
the check of money.
Like 80,000.
Yeah, it's probably $800,000.
Yeah.
So $800,000 in your budget. Is that on your budget?
It's currently being overspent by 2 people. So.
Okay. Communication. I know that they're getting ready to review the budgets in. They reviewed all the annual budgets at the end of last year, and so they're going to start taking on the new requests. I feel like they should have a September meeting, but apparently
no,
not.
There's no September,
there's no September meeting?
Yeah.
October meeting, so they've got at least another month or so. Student advocacy.
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm a third-year biomedical engineering student. I'm the chair of the student advocacy committee, which deals with all matters in which I suppose the routine advocating for. So that could be anything from, it could be anything from mental health issues or spending issues or grant of students, of professional relations, anything where there's a potential for, I guess, advocating for. So, we're going to have the first meeting in the next week or so. I'm still in the process of planning that. There's some things on our radar, such as obviously the grant student union, with the process going on with that. There's things such as, the Botanic Gardens.
Oh.
That was on our mind as well.
Yeah.
So, if you have ideas, combine them.
Thanks, Alex. A diversity international student.
Hi, my name is Manu, and I am also a third year with the PhD student. I came to Dallas. I'm chair of the Diversity International Committee, and what we do is we deal with issues related to our international students as well as students coming from diversity. And the questions which you were addressing was who comes to diversity, who's in the diversity, it depends on everyone belongs to diversity. So just getting back to that question and how to incorporate everyone in this. Second thing that we are doing is increasing our presence, because if you, I think, a week or two from now, you Google diversity and community GPS will look like nothing. Of course, GPS is doing it. We are trying to make our own website and try to increase our presence in Facebook too. Third thing we are doing is including members. The fact that we are diversity and community, our community look like that. So we are a big member, and we will be passing, talking about the solution which is sort of our identified and other issues in the upcoming meetings.
Thanks. Programming board.
Hi everyone. My name is Amy Mullet-Forrest. I'm a third year veterinary student. The programming board is in charge of planning the social events for the graduate and professional students. Our biggest event is the Red Bull in April or May. And then we also have mixers for the different colleges and departments at the Big Red Barn. I have a date. There's usually three a term. I have the date for this term. We just haven't chosen the schools, departments to come yet. Also, this year is the Big Red Barn's 25th anniversary, so we'll also be having a bunch of different events to help celebrate that. There's one event this fall. We're going to have a 90 theme party. It's going to be on a Friday night after TGIF or on Saturday. The other thing, we had a wine tour in the spring, and we're also probably going to have a wine tour in the fall now. it works. So look out for that in October. There's a couple other things on the horizon, but I'd love to hear what you guys are interested in doing. It just has to make sure it gets to all the graduate professional schools. I also do co-sponsorships of events that graduate and professional students would be invited to. So I kind of like maxed out my budget for the fall term for co-sponsors events. But for the spring, if you guys have an event that is open to the whole community, let me know to talk about it. I am always looking for new people to be on my committee. We don't meet too often. Usually we just do a certain amount of emailing between each other, and then like maybe once a month or twice a month in the beginning. We sit down and meet, and just because it's easier to converse in person and go through everything. And even if you don't want to be on the committee, just if you have any ideas, because I don't want to not do something you're looking forward to or think is a good idea. Shoot me an email, AMM524.
Thanks. And then, although not technically a committee or an officer, I'm going to ask Dara to give an overview of what her role is in the GPSA and graduate professional students.
Well,
Introduce yourself first, and then.
Hi guys, I'm Dara. I'm the grad professional student trustee. Many of you know I went here for undergrad, and I'm in law school right now as a two-law. So I hope to coordinate with Nate to see what the priorities are for GPSA and to kind of stay on top of issues and to meet with committee leads at some point on a consistent basis as well to make sure that I'm able to facilitate communication to whoever needs to talk to get things done. Also, I know we're working to facilitate better ties with the student assembly and to kind of foster a more connected governance this year. So if you have, I think Nate's great, you're great at putting some individuals now, but I know that's something I definitely would like to see facilitated this year if possible. So any ideas and suggestions for that, shoot me an email.
All right, and so now at the end of our meeting, so the exact opposite of what the SA does is they have their open forum at the beginning. We stick ours at the end. So at this portion, basically, if anyone has any announcements or they'd like to make their own motion, if your representative can make motions on things, all that's kind of on the table at this point, where we kind of round out the end of the meeting, and then I just wait for someone to motion to adjourn it, and that's basically it. So anything for open forum? Second. All right. We need to. So, okay, this is how it works. It's motion. It's a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We're adjourned.